Well, the first thing you gotta realize, brother, is this right here is the future of wrestling. You can call this the new world order of wrestling, brother.
Welcome to WPC Smash, your stop for wrestling and pop culture smashed together. I am Ian, this is
Mike Moran,
and this is
Pipster,
and we are going to immerse you into our world of wrestling, sports, fantasy sports, music, movies, and pop culture. All right, WPC Smash episode 12. What's going on, boys?
Number 12, the GOAT edition episode this week, guys. How you guys doing? What's up, Pete?
Oh, Destiny.
We'll get there, Pete. We'll get there. Mike, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. Like you said, Destiny, football, and some wrestling.
Absolutely.
So, hey, how about we just start this episode right up, man?
Yeah, guys, let's jump right in.
Get right into wrestling. All right, man, let's talk some Raw and SmackDown. You know, the meat and potatoes of the show. That's what we cover pretty much every week. So, Raw and SmackDown this week. We had some all right shows. I thought they were plainly like that. All right, they weren't good.
Yeah,
weren't
I'm indifferent, bad. Right in they the middle. Good. Yep, absolutely.
So, let's just hit it out. What do you got, Ian?
I mean, we'll kind of start on Raw, I guess. I'm sure we're going to end up jumping back and forth because, honestly, like, keeping track of who's where is, like, for me, becomes a little bit of a problem as I just get going. But, I mean, on Raw, the big thing was obviously Big Show and Braun Strowman in a cage for the main event. You know, for me, that's what I wanted to watch. That's what I was excited for Raw about. Everything else was okay, but nothing really stuck out to me as much as wanting to watch. That was why I was there. You know, they did good selling that match because I wanted to watch it.
Definitely.
And so I watched that match. I thought it was great. I thought this is the best Big Show's looked in a long time, especially since he shaved his face.
it doesn't look that good.
Yeah, but
facial-wise.
Great, you know, match. The stuff these guys could do together really blew me away. Like, you know they're both athletic. You know Braun Strowman's super strong. But for him to just throw Big Show up on his shoulders, you know, not once, twice, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He's a big boy no matter what. And, he didn't look like he struggled. You see sometimes, you know, somebody will try to do the patented armbar powerbomb off the ground, you know, a la Roman Reigns.
Oh, right,
and he struggles every time he goes to pick the guy up. And it's like, there was no struggle there, man. He threw Big Show right up on his shoulders. We got to see the power slam. We got to see a superplex. The cage held together, and they made a big deal about the ring.
Triple reinforcing the ring.
Yep. We already double reinforced it, and now, before the match, the ring crew is going to come out and add that triple reinforcement.
This is the WWE patented triple reinforcement.
Right? Yeah. I don't know how they reinforce the ropes. Night. Yeah, they put three colors tape on the ropes instead of two to reinforce them this week. But, dude, I loved it, man. I liked the gimmick at the end where they broke through the cage, you know. And that was cool, you know. It didn't look real to me, but it obviously looked set up. But I thought it was cool either way. Like, I mean, it just... The way it fell over like that, I was like, wow, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It would have been cool, like, if it crumbled a little. I don't know. It just, like, fell out like a drawbridge, like, right down and through it. But totally cool spot. I love it. I'm glad that they thought about things and came up with something new. We hadn't seen that before. Mm-hmm. And I dug it. And I was really happy that I stuck around the 3 hours to watch it, man. What stuck out in that match to you?
Besides some of the things that you said, I did like they were selling it. They definitely were selling it. The point that, you know, Braun was trying to prove something to Brock Lesnar the whole time. So,
okay.
You know, and he stepped up his intensity of his viciousness, if you will.
Yep.
I like that they were climbing the cage because, again.
Good point. When Big Show, like, climbed up and he thought he was going to muscle himself over the top for a second, I was like, whoa. Like, I'd be impressed if he gets up there.
Because it was the triple reinforced cage brought to you by KFC.
Yeah.
You know, I like that. And I obviously loved Big Show's elbow drop. It was good.
Yeah, dude.
He laid it out. He got some hang time.
Yep.
And, you know, Braun took
I like the fact that he laid it out, man. He put his body out there. He was ready to take the bump. And that's half the battle with that, just being brave, I think.
Oh, yeah. And for his size, I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why he said, you know, I'm the world's largest athlete. Like,
it looked good, too, you definitely. Know. I dug it. It was worth it.
I like the finish, too.
Yeah, everything happened the kind of how you thought it would. Like, something would happen. There'd be some kind of big schmoz at the end where gimmick-wise or something. And it was good, man. So let's backtrack a little bit.
All
right. What else on Raw stuck out to you? For me, Good Brothers being in the tag match against the champs. I thought that was cool.
Showcasing. I was honestly going to say that. Like,
says that they're good hands, you know, that they could get out there and have a good match.
They got a new t-shirt available. They showed it right on Raw. They were all about that.
Absolutely.
And they're right in there with the champs.
Yep.
And with the bar, who is right up there as well. In the
I see a three-way coming soon because of this little thing, you know. Maybe not on the next pay-per-view or the one after that, but somewhere down the line, we're going to get these three guys in the ring. And we might have already seen it, but we'll get it again for sure, you know. And somewhere down the line.
It's a moneymaker.
Absolutely. For That's sure. what you said. It's money. Yep. Yeah. Good point. Good point. I know that you brought up Bray Wyatt challenging Finn Balor, not the Demons specifically.
Right. Yeah, so he says, you know, at SummerSlam, I didn't challenge the Demon. You know, Finn Balor, you always bring your bow and arrow with you.
Yep.
I want to fight the man known as Finn Balor, not this demon.
Yep, your character.
We'll see where they're prolonging the story. I didn't hate it.
I'm glad that they're doing more with it than just like, hey, Bray Wyatt doesn't like Finn Balor. You know, it's starting to get more depth.
Right. And they're letting Bray Wyatt do his promos, which
is
always great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, eerie, in the dark, whatever. I like it.
Yep.
So that was the long and short of that.
Yeah.
To be honest. Like,
we seem to be headed, you know, in a good direction, in my opinion. And hopefully they stick with it for a while and give us more to absorb story-wise.
I think they will. Hopefully no House of Horrors match.
Oh, my God. No.
Or Finn Balor's basement
match. No projections on the ring, please.
The Balor Clubhouse match.
Ugh, man, that would be bad. Unless the Good Brothers busted out wearing Bullet Club shirts and beat the crap out of them, I wouldn't even want to see
AJ out of
that.
Nowhere.
Yeah. Women's title. Nia Jax got put in the mix, and so did somebody else. Emma. As a matter of fact.
Give Emma a chance. Every week it's something new and...
At that pay-per-view, it's going to be Emma takes the pin, that's for sure, because there's only so many people on the roster. People can't keep getting pinned all the time. So, in my opinion, that four-way... only when she's got the strap, though.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, she's on a winning streak right now. So, I mean, I'm thinking Nia Jax wins this time because she's going to pin Emma. And that's how they're going to move the title over, but not hurt Bayley or Sasha Banks.
Alexa Bliss.
Bayley being hurt really put the damper. I think that's why Emma, you know, got jumped in there to take the pin because they're like, we can't have people looking weak right now.
Yeah.
So I'm.
Who knows?
I like it four way. Hopefully these girls can have a good match. And but in my opinion, obviously things could change in there. We still got two more weeks. I mean.
Yeah. Well, because what I'm thinking, my opinion is Emma can work.
Absolutely. She's gonna look good.
I'm glad she's in the mix.
That's a good point. At least she's getting airtime.
Yeah, maybe the storyline way that she's getting airtime is kind of lame. Like,
totally.
I am the woman's revolution. Like, she makes a point. She was in the first NXT women's title match, and it was a good match.
Yeah.
But she gets hurt too much.
Yeah.
But she can work, and hopefully this is her time to work. But I think you're right. Emma is probably going to take the pin. But I think Alexa Bliss is going to do it in a sneaky way. Just keeping that heel heat. Maybe
she slides in after Nia does all the work.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and she like drop kicks Nia in the leg so she rolls out of the ring or whatever. Yeah. Something easy. Oof. But like doesn't hurt her friend.
You're swaying me, bro. Swaying me. That's
and
a good
then
point.
She crawls over real quick. I can picture right now.
Dude, and that sets up Nia and Bliss for a big pay-per-view.
And then she, like, you know, does that thing where she wipes her lip and looks at the camera and it's all over.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I like that, man. That's a real good prediction. And honestly, you swayed me. Like, that makes a lot of sense for them to go that way. Because
that
really...
means maybe pull the top rope down.
Totally.
On her, so she's not like...
While she's going to do the leg drop.
Something, yeah. Anything.
And she runs in and does a sparkle splash or whatever she's calling it now off the top.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Intercontinental
Twisted
title?
Bliss? Is that what you're going
Twisted
for?
Bliss, yeah, that's what they call it now. They used to call it the sparkle splash, right?
I believe so. Yeah. When she threw glitter out. And
Yeah. I like it, man. It's cool. It's got that little, like, that was like how I did moonsaults on the trampoline.
I did them like a Terry Funk. It was like, I kind of jumped straight up, turned around, and landed on my belly.
Yeah, dude.
Nice. So you were going Intercontinental title.
Yeah, dude. What do you think they're going to do with that?
I don't know right now. I'm like at a loss for the Intercontinental title.
It doesn't feel important to me right now.
Which sucks. But The Miz is trying to make it important.
So hard, too. He's doing his part.
Well, he fought Jeff Hardy. So he did actually
that was cool.
defend the title.
Yeah.
And it was cool. You know, they had the outside interference trying to go on. The ref kicked them out. But strategically, yeah. Maurice was on the other side of the ring. So
yeah.
She didn't get kicked out.
I just really feel like they don't know where they're going right now with that. And they're just kind of letting The Miz string himself along. They're like, oh, let's throw Jeff Hardy in here. Unless that was kind of a preview because they're going to bring somebody back who maybe held that title or put somebody in that spot that had the title before. And they're like, oh, if you're giving former title guys a shot, you know, how about me? I don't know, man, because I don't see the belt coming off of them, but I don't see what they're doing anything good with them either.
But I'm definitely glad that the belt was defended on the show, like instead of a segment or a three-way tag match or anything like that. Like, good, finally. We got a title defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they are bringing up the fact that Miz Total Days is climbing up the records.
I think he's number four now, right?
Yeah, I think he's number four. He might have just passed Don Morocco, I believe. He's close to the Honky Tonk Man. So they're acknowledging it. And Miz is, everything he's saying, he's backing it up.
Yeah.
Which is good. So they can keep going, in my opinion.
All right, cool. I get it.
He's still young enough, like, in the future.
Yep.
He could win it and he could start the same spiel over again.
Do you think they may use him to kind of, I know this is a weird, but like to bring up younger guys now? Like he's the bad guy and this is how they're going to bring up young baby faces. Sure. And like they're just being like, oh, all right, let's Jeff Hardy get in here. You're a good guy. You know, have a good match with Miz. The next week it'll be another good guy. And, you know, eventually it'll mostly be younger guys and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I hopefully, I think The Miz knows deep down that he wants to give to the business.
So yes.
He's going to do that.
Yes. I think they could be in that.
It came back to me. Sorry, folks, but I got the light bulb above my head right now. Hopefully they sprinkle Miz in some main event title matches within that.
Like yes.
If he's quickly losing the belt to a babyface, maybe.
Yep.
I want to see The Miz in the main event picture. I don't care if it's for a short time. Even if he was put in the Fatal 4-Way.
Yeah.
You know, like they recently did. The 5-way with Joe and all them.
Yeah.
Like, throw the Miz in there. Throw him it, man. He needs it.
He'll make somebody look good.
He deserves it.
Yeah. That's
where
fine.
I'm going. That's my plan for him.
That's cool, man. I like that. That stuff makes sense. I think he's going to bring up some of the younger baby faces and try to. They're going to expand the roster a little bit, I think. And we're going to see more and more soon. Anything else on Raw besides, like, maybe 205 Live? Enzo's on 205 Live doing this super tweener.
Yeah.
Gimmick, like where he's a good guy and getting the crowd pops, but he's doing all the cheating.
Dirty tactics, right.
Yeah, and it's really like old school stupid stuff, like pokes to the eye.
Yep, thumb to the eye.
Foot on the ropes. Like those things are okay, but he's like, it kind of seems like he's doing it to like, but just to be like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a bad guy.
I think he's doing it to be like, I can't, like he knows he can't be a high flyer and hang with the 205 Live style.
Yeah.
Even against someone like Drew Gulak, who I believe his gimmick's like, I don't fly.
Yeah.
But he can wrestle, and Enzo can't, so he resorted to the poke in the face, you know, the Roddy Piper style. Yeah. But I think it's a cool throwback. Like you said, those are traditional heel moves.
All right, I get that. You know, but basically what you said is he's not good at wrestling and he's not good at flying.
Yep.
So he's going to poke people in the eye.
Yep. He's very right. To get the win.
He's sneaking
in when everyone else does the dirty work. He's doing the easy, quick ones. Like, I would love to see him, and let's see if my prediction's right, in his title match, because he is the number one contender.
Yep.
I would love to see him pull the old Eddie Guerrero and have the belt in the ring, and he's laying on his back with the belt and saying, he hit me with the belt, even though it was playing possum. The old Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Other than that, on Raw, we had John Cena and Jason Jordan.
Okay, yeah.
That was
the opening match, too.
Yep.
We got the promo with Roman Reigns again at the beginning. They did a little back and forth. It wasn't near as good.
But I think it was after the match.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
So, Jason Jordan wanted to prove himself to his dad, Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
So he asked for Cena. And he was like, all right, that's what you want, son. Okay.
You know?
And he had a match with John Cena.
It was a match.
It was a match.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything that I was like, man, Jason Jordan is cool, like awesome. He can totally hang. Yeah, like,
I think he looks good. I think he's athletic.
He can have a match.
Yeah. I don't think when Kurt Angle was put in that spot with the exact same skills, he flourished and he looked great. Mm-hmm. But Jason Jordan just didn't jump out of the TV at me like Angle did back in the day. But I think they have all the same skills, and I see like where they're going with that kind of thing, and they're probably using him to really mentor him.
Yeah.
Him. Using Kurt Angle to really mentor Jason Jordan. Right. But, I mean, for me, it wasn't great. And for John Cena to just have an okay match with you, it tells me that you're just okay, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I did like...
But he's young, man. He could learn.
...was the fact that John Cena's, you know, debut match was against Kurt Angle. And Cena pretty much held his own, didn't win, held his own, and got the respect of The Undertaker. That's well documented.
Yeah.
So they said that, and then it was like, oh, now Cena is maybe returning the favor to Angle, trying to see if his son has that ruthless aggression.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was cool that Jason Jordan did some good reversals on Cena out of the STF and everything, but he doesn't have the charisma like... Or the other part of wrestling, the mic skills, or any of the charisma that Angle has, or
Angle would lose it, like a la Ric Flair, like his temples would flare and his face would turn bright red, and you would know that he believed every single word that was coming out of his mouth, and I just don't get that from Jason Jordan. I feel like he's reading cue cards or saying what somebody told him to do, which is probably what his job is at this point. It's not his job to take the reins and to go off and make himself a superstar. But at some point, he's going to have to do that.
At some point, people have to just take that chance
And
try it. And whether they get back to the backstage gorilla and get chewed out for it, or like,
do that next week.
Yes.
Yep.
You know, because you showed me something.
Exactly.
But so we had that match, and then like you said, out comes the big dog.
Yeah.
Which was another pretty good promo. And long story short, Reigns came out there to tell Cena he didn't respect him.
Yeah.
He does not respect him. But I think the funniest part of that, and I think you're probably going to agree with me.
Of course. This is the only part I remember out of this one.
Right off the bat, Cena tries to do what he did the week before and make Roman looks silly and say, hey, bro, your fly's down. And Roman just looks right at his fly and says, yeah, I busted it. You know, big dog. So I was glad to see
that
this week Roman, and like we alluded to, maybe Roman needs this to get that confidence to know to go on the fly, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
And he did just that. And it was like, oh, snap. I think even Cena, probably in his head, was like, oh, here we go. Good.
Attaboy, kid. Attaboy. Get me.
He's learning.
Get me. I liked it, man. It wasn't as good as the week before, but it was definitely cool.
I still want to watch him fight.
Absolutely.
I'm still good.
Yep. They're doing a good job with getting me to want to watch certain matches, but just not whole cards. Like, that's the problem. Like, get me to want to watch 3 hours of wrestling, not 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I like where it's going. I'm excited to see him fight, and I hope they... I hope they go a little stiff in the ring, man, because in my opinion, I think this match in particular needs that. And that could kind of also give John Cena some of that ruggedness that he doesn't get all that often. And he has had it before, you know, where he's in there, you know, street fight John Cena, where he's going to fight like that. But
there's a dead face.
Yeah, absolutely.
Terminator kind of stare.
So, SmackDown?
Yeah.
Dude, I thought it was good, but I thought it was even, you know, it was a little... less good than Raw, you know. Now that we laid Raw all out there, it wasn't as bad as I was originally remembering. But SmackDown, I'm pretty sure it was. I don't want to say bad, but I just didn't... It didn't catch me. You know, I could have been doing other stuff and not paid attention and not really miss much.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like much went on. Why don't you tell me, you know, what you did like about it, and then we'll stem off of that.
Well, all in all, I'll just say this week in WWE, whether it's Raw or SmackDown, when I take a step back, I think they did a good job at storytelling. And at the end of the day, that's what the show's all about. So like you just said, thinking about Raw, they're setting up the matches a little better. They did a good job.
Yep.
But maybe the matches didn't jump out at me. But SmackDown,
that's okay.
Right off the bat, we have, I believe, at some point, Kevin Owens is out there.
Totally.
And I believe he tries to take the ref shirt off again.
There was a women's match going on, right?
Yeah.
It was right at the beginning, and they started with a women's match. I forget who was in it. But anyway, Kevin Owens comes
Carmella
down.
Carmella and Natty.
Okay, and he comes down and says he's going to be the ref.
Give me your shirt, ref. Yep. Give me your shirt.
Shane O'Mac comes down.
And says, no way, you know,
yep.
Cut the crap.
You can't come out here and just decide you're a referee. You don't run the place. I do.
Right. Enough is enough.
And then...
Then they get heated into some words.
Kevin Owens says something that you kind of saw coming right when the promo started. But he basically, in short terms, says that it would have been better if you had died in the helicopter crash. And that, you know, his kids would be better off without him. And as soon as he said the word kids, Shane O'Mac jumps on him.
Because he warned him.
Gives him some short rights, some really not good looking short stuff, to be honest with you. It didn't look believable to me. I always look at his shoes, too. Yeah. And then they roll out of the ring. Shane's basically on top of him, giving him the short boxing style uppercuts and hooks and stuff like that. They're really fast, but nothing really looks wrestling like to me. Finally, security comes out, pulls off Shane, blah, blah, blah. Daniel Bryan comes out, tells him he has to.
What are you doing?
Yep. And Kevin Owens, of course, threatens charges. And
they separate. Pretty much at this point, they separate everyone, and Daniel Bryan restarts the match.
Okay.
Because this beginning intro story pretty much carried throughout the whole show. So Daniel Bryan, you know, gets order back in, and now we start a match. Again, just what I wanted to see, Natty in matches. As the champ, coming out with a chip on her shoulder and a belt on her shoulder, fighting Carmella. Nothing wrong with the match, in my opinion. Carmella is coming along. She's still, like...
They break up her and No Chin.
He was like, oh, cash in. He threw the briefcase at her. Of course, her reflex was to catch it, so... When she threw it back, she got hit with the roll-up.
Yeah.
And cost her the match. And then she picks up the mic. She's good on the mic, I think.
She's okay, yeah.
You know, and she digs into him.
Yeah.
Tells him he's a freak.
It looked pretty real. she probably believed all the stuff she was saying to him because he is a freak and kind of weird looking.
So we get, you know, they break up. Fans are kind of cheering for Carmella for that aspect of it.
Yeah.
And then in my head, I'm like, good. Good for her. She's going to keep this heel momentum, but she doesn't need him. And I don't think she does really either.
Yeah.
She got some nice new ring gear. Everything's good.
Yep.
And then we roll. And then, like you said, we see some more backstage. Kevin Owens flipping out.
Yeah.
I'm going to press charges. He's supposed to be my boss. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah. You can't put your hands on me. Stuff like
and
that.
And we see Daniel Bryan on the phone. Little Mike Moran fact. I like to look when they're on their phones. That you notice their phones are never lit up.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm like, obviously they're playing fake phone, but I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I look at that too sometimes.
Like, yes, sir. Okay. So then we get some more matches. We had, I believe, Sami Zayn versus Aiden English.
Yeah.
Because Aiden English came out again with a chip on his shoulder because he won the week before.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to serenade the crowd with his beautiful singing voice.
Dude, I think he's one of the only people in WWE that is getting legit heel heat right now.
Yeah.
There's a few people, but he's like a young guy who's like doing his thing, and he's got real heel heat. When he's out there, I don't want him to talk. I don't want him to wrestle. Like, and he's good at it. So it's not that. It's because of his character. It's because he's making me not like him, and that's perfect. Perfect.
I don't know.
I'm more becoming a fan.
I like his glasses. I think it's cool. Like, not cool, but I like that it works for his character.
Yep.
And he can really sing.
Yep.
And the crowd boos him. You know, he's getting like almost like that Vicky Guerrero. He, like you said, no one wants to hear what you have to say at all. Get out of here.
Real heel
heat.
So
he's interrupted by Sami Zayn, and then they start throwing down in a match.
Yep.
Getting their shits in.
Yep.
But then, boom, quick roll up.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
For the second one of the night, especially the week,
Yeah, a lot of quick roll-ups this week. But then he picks up the mic again and says, before I was rudely interrupted, I'm going to sing to you again.
Yeah.
And Sami Zayn is upset, and he starts chasing him out and pretty much end that segment right there. And then we get, once again, another backstage segment. So
they're really laying into this, you know,
the
Shane
story,
McMahon
the
stuff.
The thing of the night, most definitely, is the Shane McMahon.
Yeah, what's going on with this situation? What are we going to do here?
Yep, so Daniel Bryan comes to the ring, you know, and he calls out Shane McMahon.
Yep.
And after a long, drawn-out drama section of, I don't want to do this, bro.
Yeah.
You know? You told me I couldn't punch the Miz in the face. I really wanted to punch Miz in the face, and Brian looks at the camera when when he said, I couldn't wrestle anymore. Like, yep. You know that really does burn.
I wanted to headbutt him in the face.
Yep.
He looked upset. You know, those were real words coming out of his mouth.
So then he pretty much tells him he's suspended indefinitely.
Yep.
Because he was on the phone with none other than Vince McMahon.
Yep. Vincent Kennedy McMahon, the chairman, makes the call to suspend his own son indefinitely.
Yeah. And he said he's going to make an appearance next week to settle this all this drama BS out, pretty much, long story short.
It'll be cool to see Vince on TV again. We haven't seen him in a while. So, I like him when he makes these rare appearances. Yeah,
definitely, because he is the chairman of the board, storyline-wise. He still really is the head honcho.
Yeah.
Mr. McMahon.
Mr.
What I was thinking in my head, because it took Shane O'Mac a little while to get out of the ring, I was thinking right then and there, if he was like, well, I'm suspended, that means I'm a civilian.
Yeah.
I'm going to go find Kevin Owens and beat some ass.
On the street?
Wherever, in the back.
Nah.
Like, that's how I was thinking, but I'm like, well, he's still employed.
He's going to be like, I'll have a match, and if I win, I'll be the guy again or whatever. I think that we'll do something like that. All right, well, I mean, we ran a little long. Let's wrap it up with the number one contender match.
Well, we'll do some quick short...
yeah, lay some facts out there. Okay. Go ahead, man.
So we had Baron Corbin and Ty Dillinger with AJ Styles on commentary.
I forgot about that one.
I believe Corbin wins. He did actually get the 1-2-3 with the End of Days.
Yeah.
After jawjacking over to AJ. AJ comes in the ring, clears house, gets the fans going, and then he picks up the mic and says, hey, there is no open challenge next week for the U.S. title. You know why? Ty Dillinger, pick yourself up, shake my hand. You're fighting me for the U.S. title.
Yep.
No BS.
He got blown off the week before. Yep, exactly.
So then, that's great.
I like that. It's cool because the story makes sense because of what happened the week before.
Because it wasn't
all good.
Fair.
Yep.
And AJ's making things right.
Yep.
Being the face and being the defending champion.
Good point, man. Like
Boom.
That.
And then we get into the main event.
Number one contenders match.
Yep. Winner fights the modern day Maharaja.
Maharaja.
So yeah, we have Shinsuke Nakamura versus Randy Orton.
Yep, good match, man. Stiff match.
Yep.
Everybody's saying, and I saw it, and I, you know, thought the same stuff. I wish I didn't read it first because I you know, your opinion obviously gets skewed by it, but.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had read that Randy Orton made Shinsuke look like the Shinsuke from Japan. So when I watched it, I expected to see that, and I did. I thought it was cool. I thought Randy Orton was stiff, and I thought right off the bat he laid into Nakamura and was like, oh, I heard you like it rough, and basically, and like, now hit me.
Style.
Yeah, now hit me, buddy. And then he hit him back, and he's like, now you get me, you know? And he was like, he brought it out of Nakamura. Nakamura was doing that sick smile after he's really gotten hit. And that's what I remember from New Japan, what little I remember from New Japan of him. And so I thought it was super cool. I thought it was the first good match that either one of them had in a while.
Yeah, most
You know,
definitely.
Like that, I was really like, yes, that was awesome. You know what I mean?
Think of it like that too, like Orton, who's been around and been in the
I think he was doing
matches.
The favors. I think he was like, oh, you guys can't have a good match with this dude? I can.
Right.
Yeah.
But he was like,
and
like
I don't even
said,
have to try.
Here you go. I'm going to hit you hard. Because we can do this in WWE, man.
Yeah.
Here you go. And I'm letting you do it on me.
Yep.
Let's go. What do you got?
Yeah, nobody's going to say anything to me, buddy. I'm Randy Orton.
Right.
Like,
no one's going to say anything to you because I'm telling you to do it.
Yeah.
Let's go. Where is this superstar that I know is deep inside?
Knee me in
which
the face.
Was awesome.
He got Randy Orton on the ground one time and was just basically driving knees into his head while he was sitting on top. Man, it looked so good.
Yeah.
Definitely like Muay Thai type knees on the ground and everything was really snug, looked really good. And I was a little surprised the way the match went that Nakamura won because I thought that the way they were making Randy Orton, you know, look kind of strong and they were both looked strong, but I thought Randy, but they were like, oh, they're going to do Randy and Mahal again. They're just, they got to put it on Randy. Vincent called and was like, dude, get that belt back on Randy. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And so Nakamura won. We're going to get Nakamura and Jinder Mahal again at the next pay-per-view. And I think that Nakamura is going to win on this one.
You
I don't think
so?
Two times in a row, man.
I do not think so.
We're going to let him run with it?
Yep.
Mahal's had it for a while already.
He's over 100 days.
Yeah. More than all Mick Foley's title reigns combined, you know?
Oh.
That's true, man.
It is. And I will say, the end of that match, I love the reversal into the armbar
yes.
of the RKO.
Right
I
on.
I never saw it before. It looked cool.
I liked it too, man.
And it showed that Shinsuke also has more than just strikes.
Yep.
And I was like, damn, that was sick. Like,
good match, man.
Set.
Main events on both shows were good. I dug them. And I'm excited to see what happens next week.
The following announcement and paid for by the New World Order.
Let's get into the spotlight match of the week.
All right. WPC Smash, the spotlight match of the week, man. I was super excited to pick this match, man. And I'm going to tell you why. This is one of the biggest matches, in my opinion, in wrestling history. Reason being, I think people who aren't even huge wrestling fans, they know this match. They know what happened. They love this match. I wanted to save this forever, but I didn't want to get you to get to it first. It's an important match, yeah. And I just really thought that we should jump on. You know, we did quite a few wrestling matches lately, and this is a good wrestling match, but that's not what this match is all about. So it was kind of jumping back over towards, you know, the other part of wrestling. Promos, stories, crowds, everything. Yes, yeah. Storytelling. So I chose WCW 1996 Bash at the Beach. Most people remember this main event as Sting, Lex Luger, Macho Man, Randy Savage against the Outsiders and a mystery opponent.
Yeah, most definitely. And like you said, most people might know this match, but in my opinion, I don't think a lot of people know this match, but they know what happens or what they know. Straight up, they know what the NWO is. They know what the Outsiders, who the Outsiders were, and I don't think they understand that this match really set it off.
Yeah.
For all the shirts. Because you see people in the crowd now with NWO shirts, but do they know that this is the match that really skyrocketed what it became to be?
We're going to educate them right now, right. You know, because especially if anybody watched this match, they know what's going on. But we're going to take it right from the beginning. And we basically got a video package of how it all started. So basically, on a random Monday Night Nitro, Scott Hall comes out, comes to the announcer's table, and starts talking trash to Eric Bischoff. Blah, blah, blah. They go back and forth. He tells him that he's got a big surprise for him the next week. So basically what's just happened is somebody who is recognizable as a WWF guy, Razor Ramon, known commodity and character, has just shown up without dirt sheet knowledge, basically. This stuff wasn't around back then. Yeah. You know, he's on a show saying that he's about to take it over. So what it looks like, you know, to me as a fan, is that Vince McMahon sent his thug over to WCW to take over, you know, which is crazy. Like, that doesn't happen in wrestling. These are stories. This is fake. How can you send somebody over there like that onto another show? Nobody knew that he was gone from WWF, that he had signed a contract with WCW. It was super tight-lipped. So basically, that's what we get. We get a big surprise.
He rolls right into the ring in the middle of a match in his Canadian tuxedo, all denims.
Yeah.
And the announcers, like, do not know. They don't even know what to call him. They can't call him Razor Ramon. They just say, what is he doing here? He picks up the mic. Classic line in my heart. He says, you know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here.
Good point.
And the crowd pops because... Exactly right. They know who he is. So again, is he Razor Ramon coming to throw the hammer down on WCW for Vince McMahon? Nobody knows. And like you said, a big surprise. So then we go into the following week.
Yep. We get the big surprise. And the big surprise is, as we know, Diesel walking out to the ring.
So now we got another WWF guy.
Yeah, not out to the ring, but to the table, the announce table. And he's standing behind Eric Bischoff. You know, Scott Hall points to him, turns around, and
Bischoff is a small guy, so he has to look up.
There's big Kevin Nash, you know, come to join the show. They exclaim themselves as they're the Outsiders, and for a few weeks, we basically get small cuts of them causing trouble at WCW shows.
Yeah, and just for the sake of my knowledge of bringing up these quotes, Kevin Nash is one of his first lines is, so this is where the big boys play? And he looks around and pretty much laughs in the face of WCW because obviously he's a big man.
Yeah.
So, like you said, for the next few weeks, they're just kind of causing a ruckus.
Going out back with bats. They get, banned from the arena, so they buy tickets and they sit in the front row, eat McDonald's tickets, or something.
Popcorn, they're throwing at the wrestlers, drinking their sodas. The cameras and the announcers the whole time are like really playing it off like, get the cameras off of that guy, like,
yeah.
And
we're not going to give them the attention they're looking for.
Right, right.
But we still don't know what's going on. We don't know that these guys are employed by WCW.
Yeah, are they? Who knows?
Yeah.
But it starts boiling down. There's the Great American Bash, where there's a point Eric Bischoff comes out and says, "I know you're here. Come out here." And they interview. He attempts to interview what they're now being referred to as the Outsiders.
Yep, that was the name they gave themselves because they are the Outsiders from WCW. They're not in WCW. They're the Outsiders. Love it. Good name.
So then you get a classic moment in wrestling. Kevin Nash powerbombs Bischoff through the stage.
Yep.
Of Great American Bash. So that was pretty much it. And then I believe at the time it was either, I don't think Ted Turner came on TV, but J.J. Dillon might have been the commission. Either way, whoever was running the gig was like, this is it. All right, you say you're wrestlers. Let's put a match together. We're going to put our three top dogs together, which happens to be Sting, the Total Package, Lex Luger, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Absolutely.
And they say, you get a guy. And they laugh and say, we got whoever you want. We can get whoever we want. It could be someone in the crowd.
Yep, we got a guy.
It could be a guy from up north. And that's the term they used to say WWF because they couldn't say WWF.
Yep.
They said it could be a guy in your own locker room. So
they plant seeds of doubt, you know, because it could be anybody. Is, you know, another big WWF guy coming over, which I would assume everybody thought. I know I thought that when this was going on.
Who knows? Like, if you're looking at the level that they were when they left,
yep.
Main event stars, is The Undertaker coming? Is Shawn Michaels coming? Because they're the clique. Like,
who did they bring with them?
It's getting people talking, yep. You know?
And I was talking. I think everybody was talking about it. And this is one of those matches that everybody had to see. I wasn't a buy a WCW pay-per-view kind of guy, but we got this one, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the buddies watched it, and we wanted to see who that third partner was. So we get that video package, and the Outsiders come out first. They didn't have any music when they came out. Did you notice that?
Yeah, because they technically, at this point, they're not employed by anyone.
I thought it was smart, and I thought it kept the story going. Yep, they didn't have music. They just walked out. They walked into the ring. They did their poses.
Yep, and the announcers are like, so, ladies and gentlemen, on your left, that is Kevin Nash. And on your right, that is Scott Hall.
Yep.
Those
so now
are their names, and that's what we're calling them.
That's what we have, like, and, you know, their official names and blah, blah, blah.
They happen to refer to Kevin Nash a lot as just the big guy.
Yeah.
You know, the big guy in there. He's the biggest.
Yep. They played it off really well. They kept it going right off the bat while everybody's getting into the ring that the third guy wasn't there. Where is he? What's going on? Is he behind us? Is he in the locker room? Did he not show up?
And they're smirking.
Yep.
And they're looking at the cameras and saying, he'll be here. He's here. Is he? Like, they're playing into it.
Yeah.
I like the fact very much because they had Michael Buffer as the announcer, which WCW did a lot.
Yes.
A lot of the time. So now announcers are talking over to Mean Gene, who's at the entrance ramp area, saying, do you see a third guy? And and he's looking around, and the ref's saying, just send out the opponents because
Can't wait all day.
And so they're like, yeah, all right, WCW has the upper hand now. Then if it's two against three, we'll see what these chumps
do. There's no way.
They're going to come at my house.
Yep, they're going to get killed. You know, they can't come in here and beat our three best guys down one already.
They all come down with the face paint on.
Yes, like they're a team. Yep. They all use a version of Sting's classic face paint. Yep, and I thought it unionized them, you know, it made them a team. And I thought that was a good idea because I felt like they were all together. And they come out, they're, you know, doing their back and forth, jawjacking. And Mean Gene jumps in the ring and basically asks Kevin Nash and Scott Hall where the third guy is. And they specifically, you know, tell him that they got everything they need right there in the ring for now. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, everybody laughs and we get a ring bell. Mm-hmm. We got Bobby the Brain Heenan, the King Dusty Rhodes, you know?
The Dream, baby.
He is the king of commentary, the king of promos, king of wrestling, like,
king of NXT,
you know, everything. Absolutely, man. And Tony Schiavone, this is probably one of the first, like, big three-man groups that, you know, to do this match mm-hmm. for WCW. They had always been a two-man group as far, you know, booth as far as I remember.
They had a lot.
This is before all that.
McMichael at some point, but you're right.
Yep, bell rings and we start 3-on-2. Scott Hall starts with Lex Luger, and Lex Luger gets knocked out cold on the outside like 2 minutes into the match. Basically, Sting comes in to do a Stinger splash, and he accidentally hits Luger, who hits his head off the post and gets stretchered out. Literally,
hashtag ugly bump.
2 minutes into the match. I knocked out cold. Like, he didn't even move as he got stretchered out.
And when they're stretchering him, the outsiders are kicking the boots to him.
Oh, yeah.
They're getting that heel heat.
While he's on the stretcher.
They're kicking him up. That's just wrong. He's on a stretcher.
Yep.
You know?
So they basically set everything back up, and they don't officially restart the match, but now, you know, the announcers are saying it's a 2-on-2, and in our head, it's a 2-on-2 match now. This was the plan. Maybe there isn't a third guy. You know, maybe their plan was to take one of them out and make it a 2-on-2 from the beginning.
Yeah, but there's also a great sense of paranoia coming off of the announcers.
Now, yes.
The announcers are doing a great job, because now they're paranoid, because it could be a 2-on-2, but they're like, but the third man still hasn't come out. If he's going to come out, if there is a third man... Mm-hmm. He could be in the stands. You know, it's great warfare, us versus them. And the whole match from here on out, in my opinion, the announcers were paranoid.
Yes.
Like, oh, man, we could lose this now. Like,
they start getting nervous now that it's 2-on-2. Right. There's no advantage for WCW anymore except for that. They have the home crowd, which was clearly with Sting, especially throughout the beginning of the match. He got the biggest pop. He was the fan favorite for sure. You could tell he's the golden boy, which he was.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're definitely... The first thing that I really noticed is that all these guys are selling everything super hard. Like, punches. One right hand, and the guy's like, bang, falling back. And I'm like, wow. Like, every single hit looked big. It looked huge. Mm-hmm. It looked real. And it was definitely... What stuck out to me now is that it was old school wrestling at its finest.
Most
like
definitely.
basic storytelling wrestling with, you know, big hits and big boots and rest holds, stuff like that.
You know, Kevin Nash hits a great double-handed choke into a slam, just drops Sting right on his back, and then he kind of poses saying that he's the biggest man in this match, he's the strongest.
Yep.
You know, you got Scott Hall. I actually really like this. Scott Hall hits his patented fallaway slam and floats over for the pin. Like, they're all moving great.
I thought it was really good because these guys are all a little older at this time.
That's what I was going to say. They're already established legends.
Yep.
And they're moving so smoothly. Like, even Macho Man playing the apron, moving back and forth, waving to the crowd.
Yep.
If you notice how quickly he jumps into the ring to get the ref's attention, to try to talk some sense in the ref, and then the ref shoos him and he jumps back out on the apron, dude, like he's a young buck. I'm not even kidding.
Yep.
It was so smooth, and then he's over there doing his macho twirling finger trying to get the crowd. He's moving.
He was trying to get the crowd into it, but I think the crowd was so like, what's going on right now? Where's the third guy? Like, where's the big surprise? Who is it? Is there a third guy? I think that the crowd was like so... into that, that they like weren't cheering per se as much as you would normally hear in a match like that.
Because I think they were like, there's gonna be something, and they were waiting for something other than just a match, you know?
I thought besides the flurry right at the beginning, that for the most part, the outsiders controlled the match.
Yeah.
They controlled the ring. They looked like the big bruiser bar guys that could beat the crap out of you.
They looked like an established tag team, and they really, in WWF, weren't a tag team.
Yep.
You know, they're friends, but they were cutting the ring in half. And they were beating down the baby face.
Yep.
Beating down the
Sting was doing a lot of work. Sting was doing a lot of work.
He finally does get that hot tag.
Absolutely.
Pretty much all for nothing.
Yeah, I see. basically, I you know, had that the announce team keeps reminding us that the third guy's not here, that he's around. Where is he?
Right next to me.
Just like you had said earlier, they constantly were paranoid throughout the match. Outsiders slowed everything down. Hall and Sting did a lot of work, and Savage jumps in with the hot tag, like you said. But it was quickly stopped as they started beating him down and basically really laying into Macho Man.
Yep.
Hogan comes out, and the crowd goes nuts.
Yeah.
You know, the announcers right off the bat say, oh, Hogan's here to save the day. Yeah. He's not going to let his friend get beat down. And so that's, you know, he's coming down. Hulk Hogan's here to help his buddy Macho Man. Yep. Lex Luger got taken out. He's going to be there to protect from that third guy. You know, that's what I got.
Right. So, yeah. Hall and Nash, they know the deal. They're like, whoa, Hulkamania is coming. They're out of the ring. You know, Hogan's doing the ear thing, kind of waving them off, like looking around.
Yep.
He does the shirt rip. The crowd goes nuts.
Yep. And then he turns right around, jumps off the ropes, and drops the leg right onto Macho Man.
Boom.
Stands up, does it again.
He gives him the triple.
Yeah. And one more time for the triple, and holy cow, was I flabbergasted. I didn't know what to think at that time. Yep. What is going on?
Hall and Nash slide in. Hogan pins him. Hall does the 1-2-3. Yep. Immediately, the announcers are like, that's not a sanctioned 1-2-3. We're not counting that.
We're not saying they won.
Hogan gets up and poses to a sea of trash.
Absolutely.
Like, this is ECW the crowd is style. Booing. Trash getting thrown in the ring. Booing. Like, most of the people in the crowd, their dreams just have become nightmares. Everything they probably lived for as kids, eating their vitamins, saying their prayers, dude. You know, all that Hogan stuff. And they're like, what the hell?
Yep. And he says that the trash reminds them of each and every one of the fans out there.
Yeah, they bring in Mean Gene Okerlund, who has, again, he has a history with Hogan. Because you think of every WWF promo.
Yep.
It always starts with, well, let me tell you something, Mean Gene. And he did not say that. he, if you notice, he's grabbing Mean Gene's arm, putting the mic right in his mouth so everyone can hear what he says. In my opinion, one of Hogan's best promos ever.
Absolutely.
Ever. And he is, like you said, all this reminds me of the trash that you are.
Yep.
And then he starts getting real. He's like, nobody would be here if it wasn't for Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
I made WWF. He didn't say that. He said, I made that company up north what it is today. I made WCW what it is today. The only reason the people are even in the crowd is because of what Hogan built. And Ted Turner, you can bust out your checkbook.
Billionaire Ted.
Billionaire Ted.
Billionaire Ted. He promised me movie deals and millions of dollars, so here I am. You know, and he didn't give it to me, so I'm turning and I'm taking, you know, this business back for myself.
Yep, we're going to create our new organization. What you're looking at here is the future of wrestling. This is the new world order of wrestling, brother.
Yes, exactly.
As far as I'm concerned, the fans are right here. You can all stick it.
Yep.
And then they keep laughing with each other, high-fiving, posing. You got Scott Hall doing suck it.
Yeah.
And, like, pointing to people like, yeah, you right there. You want to throw something at me? Now, Hogan's getting hit in the face almost, like, right on the top of the head.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
A full friggin' big gulp, if you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely, man. Dude, that was a moment in wrestling history for two reasons. Hulkamania died. And we got a heel Hulk Hogan after 15, 20 years as, you know, the number one babyface in wrestling. Not 15. That's extensive.
You think of 1984, Hulkamania was born. I'm going with it, man.
Yeah, 15 years.
It was just
years.
About 15 years. Maybe 13.
Yeah. You know? As long as we were all, you know, watching wrestling and stuff. So we got that. And then we got the birth of the New World Order, which turned into the hottest thing since wrestling. And honestly, probably helped spawn Stone Cold Steve Austin, which was the next hottest thing in wrestling.
Yeah.
So
it spawned a real realistic aspect to the promos.
Yep.
Like they meant that for the maybe they didn't wholeheartedly mean it, but there was truth in that. Where's my movie deals?
Yep.
There was truth in the fact that WWF wasn't using Hall and Nash the right way, so they did come to take over WCW, and again, people were still in just dismay. The announcer say, well, what's going to happen on Nitro tomorrow?
Yeah, we're going to have to see. We don't know. We don't know who's in charge. You know, like, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. I thought it was great, man.
And the closing line, I don't even want to say it because I don't like saying this sentence, but I'm going to say it for the sake of the show. The closing line was, Hulk Hogan, you can go to hell.
Yeah.
You can go straight to hell.
They were upset, man.
And then they get the graphic and the show fades to black.
Yep. So real quick before we wrap it up, the only thing that I really noticed watching this the second time was that Bobby the Brain gave it away as Hogan was walking out to the ring. Real quick, tell us how he gave it away.
All right, so pretty much how he gave it away, while Hogan is still on the ramp, you know, Dusty's doing a fine job. Shivani's doing a fine job.
Here's Hogan here to save the day.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Mr. WCW, former WCW champ, blah, 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 blah. You get Brian Heenan saying, is he the third man?
Yeah, out of nowhere. And they're like what?
Like, why would that thought even go in your head? This is Hulk Hogan.
It would never, yeah.
Maybe he's the third man. He says it again. And yes. And they're probably smacking him like, why would you say that?
Yeah,
like,
dude, it was bad. I can't even believe it. Like, knowing at that time, like, if it didn't all happen so fast,
yeah,
where you would, like, catch things like that, or you watched it back the next day.
That's what was great about the live crowd, because they didn't hear that.
Yes.
So
good point.
You would have got probably more of a reaction, like the crowd was.
Yep.
Like, throwing shit at your TV.
Yeah.
Something, because you're right.
That was crazy. I noticed that. It was right at the end, and I noticed it, and I was like, man, you know, I'm like, he blew it.
Why would you even think
that? He blew it. Like, the first thing I thought was, like, obviously they knew what was about to happen, or he would have never said that.
Yep.
You know, so, dude, it was really fun to do this match. I was happy to pick it, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, man, I definitely did too, and I love this match, and I love digging deep into it, and I want to just give a tiny bit more of a backstory about this match, which I think is interesting, and I think the listeners are going to think is interesting.
Okay.
There's a plan B, and there almost was a different plan A.
Yeah.
Originally, they did want Hogan, but he was like, nah, man, I'm Hulkamania, like, that's my brand.
And there's a lot of money in Hulkamania right now.
And so they're like, all right, let's do, who's the next biggest babyface in WWE? Maybe Sting will do it.
Yep.
You know? So that was kind of going into it, but then Hogan saw what they were doing with the outsider angle, and he was like, oh.
I want
it. This would make waves, you're right, because they're already planting the seeds of an earthquake. Let's make this volcano erupt, you know? So he's in, but... True fact here, Hogan was actually on a plane from Hollywood Hogan, while the outsiders were walking to the ring. So Bischoff is pacing, saying, our plan B is Sting. So if Hogan doesn't show up, that, you know, they were going to use their wrestling tricks to get a hold of Sting to tell him, turn.
Yeah.
Turn on Macho Man. Right now, you're the third guy.
Yep.
And now, I'm sure we're not going to have... what we ended up getting with as the final product. I don't think Hogan's going to stand in the rafters with a crow on his shoulder for a year and not speak.
No.
You know, the whole game could have changed. And obviously I'm glad everything turned out the way it did. And Hogan actually came back early because he was obviously filming. And that's why he had just a short mustache, because he was filming, I believe, Three Ninjas Magic Mountain.
Yep.
And that's why he didn't have the traditional Hogan handlebars, which he actually says, like, it'd be a little different if I had my... you know, traditional trademark there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just think that's an awesome part of the match and story and everything.
There's
about
so
it.
Much
it's so
to
great.
It. Yeah.
So and I think in turn, money wise and wrestling history wise, it all worked out great for WCW. So, dude, that was an awesome pick.
Cool. I'm glad you enjoyed it, man. What do you got going for next week?
All right, next week I'm picking up something a little different. We're going to go back to the world of TNA, Total Nonstop Action. We're going to go to Lockdown 2008, the Lethal Lockdown match, which is Team Tomko versus Team Christian Cage. So Tomko has Tomko, AJ Styles, James Storm, Team 3D, a.k.a. the Dudley Boys, versus Christian, Matt Morgan, Kevin Nash, Rhino, and Sting.
All right, man. Sounds like a killer match. I'm stoked for that.
And we'll talk about that next week.
Sweet, sweet. Sounds good, man.
WPC Smash.
Yeah.
Fantasy News.
All right, bringing some news from the Fantasy Football League. So this week, we've only been to the 4 o'clock games right now when we're recording, but this week, guys, I don't know how you feel, but it feels like a rookie bonanza going on right now.
I feel like you said, we got a rookie bonanza, and we got a lot of defenses putting in work today. I think those are the two things that stick out to me for sure.
Yep.
Rookies, let's start right there. You know, first game of the year, Thursday night. Kareem Hunt went off, dude. I played him. I thought he would do well. I didn't think he would do that. You know, I would have been happy with 70 yards and a touchdown out of a rookie. You know what I mean? But I got three touchdowns and 150 yards or whatever worked out to be 40 points. I enjoyed that. And he wasn't the only one that, you know, really went off in that game. Hill's only a second-year guy.
Yeah, Tariq Hill, yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about Alex Smith being the number one quarterback in the league? Yeah.
The guy was throwing lasers. Dude, he looked good. He looked good, man. Everything about that, he made our defense look bad, us being the Patriots because we're on the team.
Yeah. So bringing that up, do you think our defense is that bad, or do you think the Kansas City Chiefs are that good?
I think Hightower going down made a big problem right away. Okay. He's the you know, the main guy on that defense, and everything kind of flows through him and what he's doing during each play, and I think that was a big problem that we didn't have an answer for.
All right.
From what I saw.
And the Chiefs are good.
They were great. They only lost two games last year in the playoff game to the Steelers. So they're a good team, but they look great. You know, Alex Smith looked great. That guy looked like a Pro Bowl quarterback. If he could do that 8 times out of the year, they'll be in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's keeping his job. All the Patrick Mahomes truthers can sit down and shut up now because Alex Smith has...
Oh, they're not calling for him next game. That's for sure. That's for sure. Rookies, Leonard Fournette sticks out to me. 100 yards and a touchdown and... you know, the big number for me was he had 29 carries.
29 carries. How you know, feeling about that, Mike?
I'm feeling great.
That's I'd be happy with that. Yeah. You know, 100 yards and a touchdown. We just talked rookies. You know, you're happy 70 yards and a touchdown in that first game, and you got 101, and you know that they're handing him the rock.
Yeah.
So I bet that made you feel good for sure.
Yeah, so pulling back a little bit, how do you guys feel about your teams this year? So far, Ian, how are you doing?
I mean, I'm feeling good so far. I got a lot of points on the board right now. Probably the most I'll put up this whole year. So, like you said, we're working through the 4 o'clock games. I got 130 points in a standard league, you know, standard scoring, standard lineup. So I'm feeling good about it. Yeah. I knew my team was good and that it could do good. What I'm really excited for is that the guys on my bench who – you know, I expect to do well. They all had some points, too. Nobody didn't play, you know, for the most part and stuff like that. So I'm liking the way things headed. I'm liking the way I drafted. I think I can win this year and be good for the next few, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, it's one weekend, not even the whole week.
Right. Those good feels. You just want to keep it around you.
Yeah, your first player of the year scores 40 points. You feel good about things.
Mike, how do you feel about your team this week?
This week... my team as a whole, I'm feeling good about, but my starters, I'm not feeling good about. So that's all on me, you know.
You're the owner.
The team. Yep. So I have a lot of double digits on my bench, notably, like we said, defenses. I had the Baltimore Ravens defense.
Oh, yeah. Who had the Jaguars on their bench? The Brady Bunch?
Yep, my opponent this week. Ooh. So I'm thankful for that.
Burns a little bit.
You know, Jacksonville had a touchdown, an interception.
More points than almost every.
Yeah. Ooh. Man, and Baltimore's defense on my bench had 0 points allowed with 4 picks and a fumble recovery for 23 points.
Nice.
But yeah, and you know, I got Derek Carr who had 2 touchdowns and 262.
Oh, he was slinging
but
this
the
week.
The big one of my week, which I'm disappointed about on my bench, is Hooper. Two receptions. For 128 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's good for a tight end, man. Especially this week.
That might be sucky that he's on your bench, but now you feel confident starting him, though. Yeah. Knowing that he's a target, knowing that he's a red zone target.
Right. I drafted him for a reason. We're a dynasty league. I think he has a future, and that he was just like,
solidified that for you a little bit.
Yep.
Nice.
So that's it. How about you, man?
Lay it out there, Pete. Man. What do you think?
Well, I'm super happy that Todd Gurley seems to be back on pace.
That whole team seemed to be back on pace. I don't know if it was Todd Gurley's fault.
So my bold prediction of Jared Goff being a top 15 quarterback, who knows? We'll see, but it's definitely in the realm of possibility.
I mean, their defense played great.
Yeah, they did play real good, and I actually started them this week, so they got me at 31 points. Finally stopped, end of the game, final, so that's awesome. Sammy Watkins doing all right. Amari Cooper, you know, we did it in America. He scored a touchdown. I think all of last year didn't even score a touchdown this year. It took 5 or 6 guys to carry him into the end zone, but, you know, they did it. So I feel good. I feel okay. I wish Mike.
How do you feel about Robinson going down for the year?
He wasn't even going to be a factor. Sometimes you hold on to players, especially in Dynasty, to see where they're going to go next. Mm-hmm. Like his contract ends this year.
Oh.
So I want to see where he goes next. Kind of like DeAndre Hopkins. Right? Oh, I'm sure
that contract didn't go the way I wanted it to, that's for sure. Yeah. He had 16 targets today, which tells me that he's zoned in on him. Any wide receiver with 16 targets should be starting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not on my team, but he should be starting.
So real quick, just right off the top of your head, any guys you were wishy-washy on this week that you are glad you didn't play or that you wish you did play? Obviously, Hooper for Mike, but anybody else you guys are on the fence about?
Go ahead, Mike.
Rob Kelly.
Yeah,
because I was thinking he's the starter of that team, and I should play him.
Yep.
And I kept him for a reason. But, you know, I chose to go with my second-round pick of McCaffrey, and didn't work out too great as of right now.
Yep.
You know, he had like 6-point-something points, but then he just fumbled. So
yeah.
But he still had more points than Rob Kelly, so I'm okay with that.
That's the move then. For me, Joe Mixon. I almost played him over Kareem Hunt, and I backed out of it, you know, because I spent the draft pick on Mixon, you know, trying to build my future. And when Jay Ajayi wasn't going to play, I had to put one of those two guys in, and I ended up switching, you know, halfway through the day to Kareem Hunt, and I was glad I made that move. How about you, man?
Looking at my list right now, I don't think Corey Davis I was on the fence about, rookie wide receiver for Tennessee. One way or another, and it looks like right now it wouldn't have really mattered. It was between him or Sammy Watkins, and Sammy Watkins got me 5.8.
Yeah.
And Corey Davis got like 6.9.
So. I think Corey Davis had like 11 targets. He's just got to get the ball.
Exactly.
You know? So he'll get it eventually.
We'll get it.
Cool, cool. Hey, a lot of stuff going on in fantasy. It's only halfway through the first week, so as the weeks come on, we're going to have a lot more information. Yeah, we're going to have a lot more information as far as that goes. And we're always excited for some fantasy football around here.
And now it's time, ladies and gentlemen, to smash this podcast with some pop culture. We got music, we got movies, we got comics, video games, collectibles, and more. Smash!
All right, now we're going to get into some pop culture. Dude, I think we should spend most of pop culture on Destiny, man.
For sure.
We talked about it last week. We talked about what we were excited for about it, and we finally got it, and we got to play it. And Pete, why don't you tell us, you know, what you liked about it right off the bat? You know, you're the hardcore Destiny guy.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to take three different opinions here. Not opinions, but three different stances you know, like a hardcore Destiny player, a guy who plays it a lot, and somebody who has never played it at all, really. So this will be pretty cool. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, so I had played a lot of Destiny 1, and I think this game is amazing. I think it's what everybody wanted. It seems like they really listened to the community. D1 or Destiny 1 really seemed like a beta, and Destiny 2 was the game that is a result from that. So one thing that I picked up on pretty early on was the fact that it's the weapons now. Like, you don't, in Destiny 1 you get a weapon, but then you had to spend like 4 hours just unlocking the little tiny nodes to get a different scope.
Final Fantasy-esque.
Yeah, it just took forever, so like it kind of forced you to play. Like, now you get your reward and you can switch out the scopes and switch perks, and it's fun. It's awesome. You don't have to wait for that little carrot, you know, at the stick.
Working for a new reward.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So that's the thing that jumped out at me playing it the most. But yeah, I'll have some tips and I'll go over those. But how are you guys feeling?
Dude, being somebody who never played it before, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great game. It reminded me a lot of Halo. You could definitely tell the Bungie guys, you know, made this game. And I always enjoyed Halos, every single one. I loved playing the campaign, and I liked playing this campaign. I banged through it already. I was trying to get through it pretty quickly, and I did try to get my light level up, because apparently that's what you want to do.
Yep.
So I'm just doing what I'm told and trying to get as strong as I can. That way, you know, we can go through and, you know, get all those exotic weapons a little bit easier and stuff like that. So, man, I really like it. There's a lot of stuff going on, but not too much. You know what I mean? It's manageable. You know, somebody like me, like, I don't want to play Final Fantasy. It's just too much going on. I don't want to play Fallout. Yeah. I do want to play Fable. You know what I mean? Because it's that style, but it's way more dumbed down and easy. And somebody like me who doesn't want to put, you know, 200 hours into a game, you know, this is much more on my level. So I really enjoy it. I'm going to keep playing it, especially at least until Call of Duty comes out. And probably even after that, because it's one of those games that seems to have some replay factor for me. Mike, what stuck out to you, brother?
All right, so yeah, I played Destiny. I played the first one a lot, maybe not as much as Pip, but I know what it's about. And so this new one here, I definitely like it. There's some improvements, obviously graphically. It looks beautiful. The first one looked good, but this one looks great. The weapons are cool, and I like the little things that they added. Like in the map, you get the timers for the public events.
Hell yeah.
Before, we used to have to use a third-party app, which was also kind of cool, and trying to track it down where it's going to be. But now right in the game, it tells you where it is, what you're fighting for. You have a chance at an engram, whether it's a blue one, a rare one, a legendary, whatever you want to call it.
And it'll tell you, not on those public ones exactly, but almost on everything. You'll have an idea of what, what you're going for. Totally.
It's not random anymore, which is fantastic.
Right. Yep.
And I like that there's a campaign, but the campaign you can also split off and do anything open world like the original game.
Yep.
You know, like the new subclasses. I'm usually a warlock. I'm up close and personal, punching people most of the time, but now I get a sweet Dawn Blade of Fire and I can practically fly. That's cool. And it's just so far so good, man. So
Pete, I'm really enjoying it, man. And Pete, somebody like me who's never played the game, if you had a few tips to lay out there for him, what would they be?
That's,
man,
what I'm gonna say. He's my guru for this. So,
some things that I saw around the interwebs and picked up on my own, but
on the dark webs.
So starting off with exotic engrams, because those are everyone's favorite. Everybody wants them.
Sure.
You want them. You get the
thing. I played the game for 3 days and I want them.
Want them all. Pro tip on this is go into your inventory, hit Y or triangle, inspect it, look at it, and it will show you 6 or 7 items that if you decrypt it, what it will turn into. So if you have those items already, if you don't like them, if they don't really pertain to you, it's not your style. Yeah.
You don't need a handgun.
Yeah, exactly. Wait 5 minutes, it will refresh. RNGesus, you die today. Like, that is just so awesome in these type of games where you're always looking for that next best thing, but you don't know exactly what you're going to get. Now you know exactly what your chances are of getting that one item.
Cool.
It's fantastic. I love it. The other thing is, if you're having trouble leveling up, there's a gear kind of... It's mostly just paying attention to the base level of the gun or the base level of the armor. So say you have a 265 piece of armor and it has a +5 mod on it, so it essentially giving you 270 level. And you have another armor piece for 270, and you're like, well, I can't obviously infuse this, yada yada, the 270 to the 2 whatever. But if you go back to the 265, we're looking at the base. So it's a 265, but you have a 270. You can infuse that higher one into the one with the mod on it, and now you're at 275. So it's just a quick way of kind of getting into it. I know right now everybody's like locking down on legendary shards, waiting for Zer to come in. But once we kind of relax from that, or we have a whole stockpile of them, and you're trying to get to that soft level cap of 300, then you're going to want to try to infuse this little trick to kind of just get up a little bit faster.
Yep.
A little bit faster, So
I'll be doing that.
Yeah, definitely. Me too. So those are my pro tips right now, and I'm sure we'll have more coming as we play it through.
Yeah, man. So, you can catch us playing on Xbox. If you're interested, hit us up on Twitter. Pete, why don't you tell them where they can find you on Twitch, and they can watch us play and see what you're actually doing to level up as fast as you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So, if you guys want to come and hang out with us for a little bit, it's at Pipster2K1.
All right, sweet. Dude, I love me some Destiny, and I'll be stoked to talk about it more as these segments come up later on in the coming weeks, man.
Hells yeah.
Cool.
This is the WPC Brain Buster. Let's meet today's contestants. An X-Men collecting father of two, whose wrestling knowledge is so great, may the force be with you, the Commissioner Ian. From the age of 6, he's been saving princesses from castles. His heroes are grown men in spandex. This is Mike Burnett. And now, here is the host of WPC Brain Buster, Pipster.
All right, thank you very much. Welcome to the Brain Buster. So today's question is going to be a hopefully one of a good challenge for y'all.
You're usually pretty good with the challenge. Let's see what happens.
All right. So the first or the B question is regarding the Money in the Bank. So who first introduced Money in the Bank to leading up to WrestleMania 21? So the first ever.
I know that one too. Go ahead.
Chris Jericho.
And answer?
I was going to say Edge, but now that you say Chris Jericho, I know it was him. But yeah, Edge was going to be my guess.
All right. So it's Chris Jericho. So yeah. Mike goes the corner, and then the follow-up question was going to be who won it, and it was Edge.
Yeah. So cool, cool. Oh, Mike. You always tear me up at this, dude. I'm going to start doing my... I'm going to buy one of those, like, WWE History of WrestleMania encyclopedias. Seats. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, dude. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken,
I know, dude,
you got me for Christmas.
I know. Was this my idea? Dude, congratulations, man. I think... What are you up on me? 2-0?
3-0.
3-0? Oof. Dirty. I'm gonna do some research, man. There's no way I'm going to let this get away from me. 3-0 is still close. We can get there. Dude, Pete, good questions, man. Hey, man, I had another good episode. I enjoyed everything. I hope you guys enjoyed it, too. You guys want to sign off with anything?
I don't know. Thanks for listening.
Right on, man. Let's give the people a Too Sweet. Too Sweet.
You can find us on Twitter at WPCSmash.
Or on our website, WPCSmash.wordpress.com. Where you can find current and past episodes, a donation button, and links for iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe, brother.